two men have died trying to do this. Outside Magazine declared the Race Across America the toughest endurance event there is, bar none. Cyclists cover 3,000 miles in less than 12 days, riding from San Diego to Atlantic City. Some might think, oh, that's like the Tour de France. They would be wrong. The Tour has stages, breaks. The Race Across America, or AAM, does not stop. Every minute riders take to sleep, to rest, to do anything other than pedal is another minute their competitors can use to defeat them. Riders average 3 hours of sleep per night, reluctantly. 4 days into the race, and the top riders must debate when to rest. With the competition tightly clustered, within an hour of each other, it is a decision that weighs heavily on them, knowing they will be passed and need to regain their position. And as the race goes on, they will grow weaker. There is no respite. The exhaustion, pain, and sleep deprivation only compound as they work their way across the entire United States. But in 2009, this does not affect the man in the number one spot. He is literally half a day ahead of number two. Yuri Robich seems unbeatable. He has won the RAAM 5 times more than any other competitor ever, often crossing the finish line in under 9 days. In 2004, he bested the number two rider by 11 hours. Can you imagine watching an event during which, after the winner claims victory, you need to wait half a day in order to see the runner-up finish? It's only natural to wonder what made Robich so dominant and successful in such a grueling event. Was he genetically gifted? No. When tested, he seemed physically typical for a top ultra-endurance athlete. Did he have the best trainer? Nope. His friend, Juros Velopek, described Robich as completely uncoachable. In a piece for the New York Times, Dan Coyle revealed the edge Robich had over his competition that rendered him the greatest rider ever in the Race Across America. His insanity. That's not an exaggerated way of saying he was extreme. It's a literal way of saying when Robich rode, he utterly lost his mind. He became paranoid, had tearful emotional breakdowns, and saw cryptic meaning in the cracks on the street beneath him. Robich would throw down his bike and walk toward the follow car of his team members, fists clenched and eyes ablaze. Wisely, they locked the doors. He leapt off his bike mid-race to engage in fistfights with mailboxes. He hallucinated, one time seeing Mujahideen chasing him with guns. His then-wife was so disturbed by Robich's behavior she locked herself in the team's trailer. Coyle wrote that Robich saw his insanity as awkward and embarrassing but impossible to live without. What's fascinating is that Robich's gift was not unknown as an advantage in athletics. As far back as the 1800s, scientists like Philippe Tissot and Auguste Beer noted that an unsound mind can help an athlete ignore pain and push his or her body beyond its naturally conservative limits. I don't know about you, but my high school guidance counselor never told me that hallucinations, mailbox assaults, and generalized insanity were vital to being a world-renowned success at anything. I was told to do my homework, play by the rules, and be nice. All of which raises a serious question. What really produces success? This book explores what brings success in the real world, and I mean life success, not merely making money. What attitudes and behaviors will help you achieve your goals in whatever arena you choose, career or personal? A lot of books cover one facet of the success diamond or present theory without anything actionable. We're going to look at what works and then learn steps you can use to get where you want to go. What defines success for you is, well, up to you. It's about what you personally need to be happy at work and at home. But that doesn't mean success is arbitrary. You already know strategies to get you there that are very likely to work, consistent effort, and very unlikely to, waking up at the crack of noon every day. The problem lies in the huge gulf in the middle. You've been told about all the qualities and tactics that will help you get where you want to go, but there's no real proof, and perhaps you've seen plenty of exceptions. That's what we're going to look at in this book. For 8 years on my blog, Barking Up the Wrong Tree, I have been breaking down the research and interviewing experts about what makes a successful life, and I've been finding answers. Many of them are surprising. Some seem contradictory on the surface, but all of them provide insight into what we need to do in our careers and our personal lives to get an edge. Much of what we've been told about the qualities that lead to achievement is logical, earnest, and downright wrong. We'll explode the myths, look at the science behind what separates the extremely successful from the rest of us, learn what we can do to be more like them, and find out in some cases why it's good that we aren't.